Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon, broadcasting to you live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. Broadcasting on 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live, voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to all people who are in serious pain, physical or mental or emotional or financial or maybe all of the above. Some people may be experiencing all of those. I bring it up because I had a serious brush with that over the last weekend. And I'm going to talk about it just a little bit when I get to the binnacle list. But before I do that, I had a request from my Stockholm family wanting to know why last week I did not explain why I was broadcasting from the Jean Bosch Memorial Studio rather than from the road, from traveling. And so herewith, dear Dr. Professor and all of Captain Joe's people, is the answer. The family that I was going to be with in Maine, M-A-I-N-E, the state of Maine, as part of my East Coast trip, became ill, and the decision was taken that we would delay my visit to that place, and therefore I returned to the magical Isle of Vashon a day early. I also was able to spend a little bit of extra time with my family that lives in near Boston. I turned the car in to the Hertz rental place at Boston Logan. And I flew out of there rather than flying out of Burlington, Vermont. So there you have it. The binnacle list this week is a mixed one yet once again. I have no crossings of the bar of people who are Captain Joe's people, and that's always a good thing every week when we are able to have that. But we've had some reports of more serious conditions, getting even more serious tests yet to be conducted and procedures yet to be fulfilled. In my own situation, I had a serious, not running aground, but I did smell the bottom, as they say up in the Great Lakes. When you're moving around with just 6 inches of clearance between the ship's bottom and the bottom of the channel, the western end of Lake Erie, for example, you're coming really close, and the term there and with me is that you are smelling the bottom. I waited too long to call our fire and rescue people via 911. And by the time I gave them a call, without going into any of the technical details from the medical point of view, I would just tell you that by the time that we made the first ferry at 4:40 on Friday morning, and inducted me into the tender ministrations of what turned out to be an emergency room physician who had been an Army flight surgeon. For yes, indeed, the Army, even today, still has its own Air Force, and it has its own flight surgeons, and this was one of them. He had deployed several times to Iraq and Afghanistan. And while he was working me over, he and I were conversing about helicopter operations in particular. And he said, and I said to him, dear and good doctor, why did you choose not to remain in the Army? And he said, I just did not want to deploy anymore. And I said, that deployment idea was part of my whole working life. And all of the people that I was privileged to command in all of the deployments, all of the missions, people that I was privileged to command, and some of them, of course, are no longer with us, with me. So he said, I didn't want to keep on deploying for the rest of my life, and so I decided to go back into civilian practice, to which I replied, glad am I, because what you're doing right now and what he was doing right then was installing a piece of exterior plumbing, which I now am carrying around. I'm telling you all of this because we are working these problems together. It is your interest and your concern and your love and your signals to me which remind me every day that I have a responsibility and an obligation to get back up in the captain's chair, no whining, no mewing, no puking, and to carry out my duties. So I have this external plumbing, and for you engineers, you snipes out there, you know that when you have many pieces of machinery and they all drain to the bilges. In my case, they drain someplace else, and I just have to be careful not to drain into my shoe. And the warning goes out, is going out right now. Don't melt any yellow snow anywhere close aboard where Captain Joe has been. All of this is to tell you that I am of good cheer. I see this as a good reminder, and I bring it up, the part about the pain, because a lot of times we think, oh, well, I'll just kind of tough it out because it's going to get better. In my case, it was not going to get better, and in fact, I got there just in time. So if you are one of those, one of Captain Joe's people who says, one of you Master Chief Bosun's mates out there, I'll just tough this out a little bit longer because it's going to get better. Maybe, Master Chief, it's not going to get better. And maybe from the captain's chair, you'll listen to your captain and go see somebody and see if you can't make it better. And that's what I have to say about all of that. The city or town or village of Vashon is becoming decorated for the holidays. And in keeping with the Vashon non-sectarian tradition, because we have people on the Magical Isle who observe just about every religious festival, religious holiday, non-religious festival, non-religious holiday, all of it good and healthy and great fun. The traditional decoration here on the Magical Isle is that each one of the light poles has a great big candy cane. That certainly cannot be offensive to anybody except possibly those who say candy canes have sugar, and that's not healthy. So maybe these are alternate, some sugar and some with stevia. Anyway, the decorations are going up, and my part in it all was the open house on Saturday. By Saturday, or Sunday rather, by Sunday, the whole business of the open house for Point Robinson had come to fruition. There was no way that I was going to miss that, because I've headed up that whole thing with many other people, many lovely people, for I think now about 20 years. This year, we observed all of the traditional part. For many island people, it is the first event of the holiday season. And this year, we observed every one of the pieces of it. There was one exception. That exception was that I traditionally have made my homemade chili from the deck plates up. And because I was still adjusting myself to this exterior plumbing system and the idea and the ability to, or the desire to stand up long enough to do all of the battle preps that go with making my homemade chili, I decided that I would see if I could find someone to whom to delegate that. In the meantime, the ever-lovely Carol, who has worked with me for so many years, and then before that, along with that, Carol's late husband, Kay, all of us and all of the people that she had recruited did just a magnificent job. So the delegation of the chili, my daughter, Heather, had sent me a signal, and she said in that signal, she didn't know what she was getting into. She said, if you want me to make the chili, I will do it. And so I took her up on that. And that's what we did. So the Lighthouse Santa was there. All of the musicians, we had live music. And my part in it always has been and was on Sunday to man the lighthouse. I took out with me a bag of healthy dog treats from my friend Megan in Traverse City, Michigan. And I had a collection of dogs and children and adults. I gave away many of the lighthouse posters, put the stamp on it, told the story of my friend Anastasia and Aaron and their quest to complete the visit to all of the lighthouses, which they did. And it was just a glorious day. I met a diabetic dog who was not allowed to have any of the healthy treats. I met a almost matched pair of pugs. I've never had a pug dog, so I was very interested to meet these dogs. They were voracious consumers of the healthy dog treats. Other things that are going on in the leading up to the Christmas season and the holiday season, the Christmas cactus in Captain's Quarters are now blooming. I have several of them. Two of them came from Mary R's mom, Loretta. And two of them came from my mother, Tootsie. Tootsie's, in her usual stubborn fashion, have not yet shown any sign of being ready to bloom, but Loretta's are in full bloom and are absolutely beautiful. I left Point Robinson too quickly. I forgot, and I'm going to mention it here. We had been without a flag out at Point Robinson for some time. We had to take the old flag down, flag pulled down before it fell down and hit somebody. And so the keepers of Point Robinson, which is the volunteer group that I head up and which I'm going to resuscitate post-virus in the year 2025, had bought a new, expensive, large, and heavy flagpole. It will outlast me, it will outlast my children, and it probably will outlast my great-grandchildren. It will be there for a long time. The foundation for it, Sean, who is the head of the maintenance crew at the Vashon Park District, they dug the hole and they kept digging the hole and it kept getting bigger and bigger. It was so big that we could have extended it across Puget Sound into Des Moines. Then they put the foundation in that came with the flagpole. Then the flagpole went up. And in the meantime, I went and bought a parade size flag. I believe that's a number 4 size. 8 by 12 feet. And on open house, before I opened the lighthouse for diabetic dogs and children and adults and stamping of posters, we held a color ceremony. There were a few people standing around watching. I brought them around and I said, we're going to have a little ceremony here, and you are all part of that ceremony. One of the bystanders came over and, believing that I did not know anything about flag hoisting, said, now be sure that you make sure that you don't put it on upside down. I did get a little testy with her, for it was a she. I did get a little testy, and I said, I've been doing this since I was 17. So you can be sure that the field of blue stars, 50 stars, will go up first, and then the bottom of the flag, and that it will fly free, just as our free nation will fly free. No matter what happens to us politically, we will come through. So we had this wonderful little ceremony, and the flag is flying out there now. It is a great big parade flag. The floodlight comes on at night. We tested that out the other night, and it comes on at the same time that the main light does. So that hole, that big Irish pennant in my heart, has now been filled. I had 2 signals from my friend in Michigan, John, J-O-N, and I acknowledge those here. Last week, I think it was last week, I talked about the His Majesty's New Zealand naval ship, the Manawanui. And I said I did not know what the translation of that from the Maori into English was. And when I got to it, I would get to it and figure it out. And John, on whom all blessings flow, did that for me. And he sent me a signal. And the word Manawanui means steadfast or stout, stout-hearted or staunch. What a wonderful name for a ship. And a ship that was so badly served by the people that to whom she was entrusted to care for her. For as I reported last week, she remains on the bottom on that shoal, on her side. One can fly over it and look down, and you can see her there. It is heartbreaking for any captain. It should be heartbreaking for any sailor. The other signal that came from John was about the IVIC, this non-icebreaker that the Coast Guard has bought to help fill in the gaps, because we are so dilatory in constructing and operating fully powered icebreakers in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. So we bought this ship, and I've talked about it before. She's not an icebreaker. She's got an ice class. She's ice strengthened. And there is a photograph of her in a Tampa shipyard being painted red, the slash being applied to the bow, and it looks to me as if the helicopter pad, which was mounted up on the forecastle, of all miserable places to put a helicopter pad in a ship that's going to be going into head seas, I would think that that thing would get wiped off in any really heavy weather. In any case, she's now being painted red. And the other thing that John reported to me was that it is possible that it is likely that she's going to be renamed, and that renaming is probably that she's going to be named Storrs. I'm of a mixed feeling about this, because Storrs, to me, was a ship that was incredibly capable and was manned by people who knew how to take the best advantage of her capabilities. I do not yet have the same sense of confidence about IVIC, but if she's to be renamed Storrs, or whatever name she's given, I wish her well. And I hope that her captain and crew take really good care of her, as she will take care of them as they work their way into the ice, in particular the Arctic. I am almost certain that she'll never be deployed to the Antarctic. I've been dilatory in a number of ways, and one of them is in acknowledging and thanking people for all of the cards and messages, signals, wonderful gifts that have come to me, not only in connection with the celebration of my 50th birthday, but they come to me on a regular basis. And I should, on each one of the arrival of any one of these missives, acknowledge it, thank the person or people that send it. And sometimes I just get up to where I have to force myself to deal with things that I absolutely must do. But know that each one of these is both treasured and hereby acknowledged, and as I'm able to work my way through it. So one of those is a book. And it came to me from my son Sean and his lovely wife Barbie. And it is, the title of it is In the Dragon's Shadow, and the subtitle is Southeast Asia in the Chinese Century, and it's by a man by the name of Sebastian Strangio, Strangio. I've never heard of Sebastian before, but I have started going through this book, and one of the pieces, one of the introductions, was a long reference to Subic Bay in the Philippines. All of us Westpac sailors have been to Subic, have been to the orphanages, cathedrals, and Christian Science reading rooms in Olongapo, which is the town outside the gate at Subic. And so Sebastian talks about that, and he talks about how it was backed over to the Philippine government in 1998, and the U.S. pulled out. So I am going to be diving into this book with some detail, but I want to acknowledge not only that I have it, but that I've started to read it, and that I've already established a link with it, and I'm passing that link on to all of Captain Joe's people, especially those who are Westpac people, and especially those who, within the framework of Westpac people, are people who are veterans of the gun line. This is one of those you all know who you are kinds of things. We are in the old man winter campaign time. I'm going to take a minute or two to talk about that, because I have a firm request to all of Captain Joe's people. Old Man Winter is the winter fundraising activity for the Voice of Vashon. It is the fundraising activity that allows me to be with you every week. It allows me to get into the captain's chair at the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, or to broadcast from wherever I am in the world. I harbor some feeling that the time that we spend together, where I try to make all of us feel a little bit better about the world in which we live and about ourselves, is valuable to you. It is extremely valuable. It is essential to my well-being to be able to do this. I'm not asking here for donations. I will be making a donation on behalf of all of us to the Voice of Vashon and to the lovely Kate, who is the executive director for the Voice of Vashon. Here's what I am asking. I'm asking each one of Captain Joe's people to get 2-3 things together. The first is an unused envelope, or envelope, depending on your pronunciation. The second is a stamp of sufficient value to wing its way to the Voice of Vashon. And the third is on a slip of paper. You write down who you are and send it to the Voice of Vashon. You can get the Voice of Vashon by going right there on the website. If you're streaming me and if you're listening to me live, go on to the Voice of Vashon, voiceofvashon.org. Now, if you are of a mind to send a donation, my suggestion is this. If you are working your way through your holiday commitments, by all means, do all of those things. Reach down into the bottom of your sea bag, down there where the clothes stops are, all the way at the bottom, and find that dollar bill that you left down there the last time that you made a Liberty call, and put that dollar bill into that envelope. But if you have not even a dollar bill, a slip of paper, put in that envelope with that stamp on that envelope and send it to the Voice of Vashon, Attention Kate. And in that attention or in that note, just say who you are and that you are one of Captain Joe's people. I'm doing this because I'd like to have a feel for the number of people that I'm reaching. And if you want to send me a signal, my email address is, as always, Captain Joe, all one word, at centrytel.net. And send me a signal and say, that was pretty arrogant of you, Captain, to even ask us to send in a piece of paper. But let me tell you that when any communications come from any of Captain Joe's people to the ever-lovely Kate, the executive director of The Voice, she sends me a signal and she says, I've heard from another one of your people. You've got them everywhere, all over the world. And I say, yes, Kate, I am the most fortunate of men. And I want to share that good fortune with all of Captain Joe's people, which is what I hope I'm doing today. And I believe that that is the case because I want all of you to know that although we did have a little bit of getting off course, that I am back up in the captain's chair. I am of good cheer. I remain in full command of all of my command. My family, friends of family rank, all of Captain Joe's people, all of you out there, send me, and I try to send back to you, the strength that comes from the mass of numbers. But not just numbers, the strength that comes from the mass of signals flying all over the world. You can do this. Get up. Go out. See some people. Do some good thing for the area or the community in which you live. Say thanks to somebody that has done something really nice and good for you. That's what I hope that we all will do, and that is part of the op order, the operations order that comes to you from your Captain Joe. As always, all of you remain in the palm of my hand. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. We will meet again right here, and this is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair and on station and watching properly.